So it's really precious that we've shared communion. I'm going to endeavour to do a little section of what, I'm not quite sure whether it's a series or not. Thank you for bearing with me. Leviticus chapter 3. If you have been travelling this particular road with us, we're not going to read a big section from there, but it is the offering that is mentioned in Leviticus chapter 3. And in some Bibles, it'll be called the peace offering. In others, you may have the fellowship offering. So it's depending on your version, you might have a different name for this particular offering. And this is the third one. So we've looked at the burnt offering, haven't we? We've looked at the grain offering, or sometimes the meat offering, it's called. And then we have here the peace offering, or the fellowship offering. And then, if you're interested, spoiler alert, there are two more. The sin offering and the trespass offering. But we're just working through as the Lord gives us time on this. And you'll remember, and just by way of context, our way in, if you like, the way I've been looking at this, there are different ways to do it. But taking as our starting point what Jesus... how Jesus dealt with those on the road to Emmaus. You remember in Luke 24, you don't have to turn there, it says that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So isn't that wonderful? So that's, if you like, our way in. I've just had a sense that the Lord wants, as we look at these things, to realize by the Holy Spirit, revelation, he wants to show us himself in all the scriptures. And further on in Luke 24, it says, Jesus says to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." This is the risen Lord, by the way, in case you were wondering. How wonderful is that? All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. There it is again, very clear from the Lord, that as we look at the Old Testament scriptures, a primary focus is the things concerning him. And then it says this, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." So we can study, and that's a good thing to do. But we need, if you like, something which is actually, it sounds a bit dramatic, but it's supernatural for us to have our eyes opened, for us to understand. And how wonderful that the Lord delights to do that. It's nothing to do with human intellect. He loves to reveal himself. Praise his wonderful name. So this third offering, the peace offering or the fellowship offering, and I'd like us perhaps to look just briefly, we'll see how we get on, at that aspect of the fact that it speaks of fellowship. Okay? Especially in light of the fact we've had communion this morning. And maybe just for the time we've got, we'll look at one thing in particular. So I don't know if you remember, forgive me if you haven't been on the previous sessions, but these five offerings and the ones we've looked at have things that perhaps you can see are in common, similar things, but also distinctives. And sometimes that's helpful to spot that. So this phrase, a sweet aroma to God, you remember that? A sweet aroma to God. So the burnt offering and the grain offering, and now the third one, the peace offering, all speak of this aspect. A sweet aroma to God. It's so precious. And you can remind yourselves of verses in Ephesians. Paul picks up on this sweet smelling savour rising as pleasant, as pleasing to God. Still remember your talk to the young people, Matt. Fragrance and victory. That's the fragrance of the life of Christ offered. In this regard, this isn't primarily about sin offering. These three here, this is just in the burnt offering, it's the full devotion of the life burnt up for God. And the burning doesn't destroy here. It releases a sweet smell. How wonderful. And Christ, as we saw, fully fulfilled all the law's requirements in the sense of the burnt offering, the life fully devoted, given to God, and all the pleasure, all the fragrance rose to the Father. Wonderful. And the grain offering we saw, didn't we? A little bit in the sense of, if the burnt offering was to God, the grain offering was in regard to the fulfillment of the law in requirement to our neighbour in terms of others. And the Lord fully fulfilled that. And it was sweet. As he offered in that regard, it was sweet. Praise his wonderful name. So similarly here, the peace offering, sweet. So this is important. I've really kind of grappled with this over the past few years, just thinking about it. It's amazing when you think about it, because if you read peace offering, we instinctively go to, well, this is blood-bought peace, okay? But actually, when we look at this particular offering, it wasn't that this offering was to make peace with God. This offering was actually, the focus was to celebrate the peace that the people had with God. Hence where we get this idea of the fellowship, communion, offering. And this is truly staggering. Now just think with me for a moment here, and we can read in chapter 3, but to get a real sense of this, you also need to look in chapter 7. Again, I'm not going to read it all. There's lots of fat and entrails and tails and all kinds of stuff. Feel free to read at your leisure. But in the latter parts of chapter 7, from verse 11 down through to the end of the chapter, we have the law of the peace offering. And we need to actually understand some of what's there linked with what we see in chapter 3. And in the last part of chapter 7, we have this. You may have a little heading. It talks about the portion of Aaron, the priest, and his sons. Okay? And if you read those scriptures, I'm not suggesting you do that right now, but maybe later in your own time. What becomes clear, and this is where this one is distinct from all the other offerings. What becomes clear is that in this offering, the fellowship offering, there is feasting for, and wait for it, my friends, you have to be a bit patient as I try and get this off my chest. There is feasting for God, the priests, and the offerer. Okay? There is feasting, there is part for God, the priests, and the offerer. Okay? That's distinct from the burnt offering and distinct from the grain offering. And what's more, the priest's children got to share in the feasting. Are you with me? This is something truly, truly wonderful. So listen again. God, in this offering, God, the priests, and the offerer were fed and satisfied by the offering. And in this regard, this particular offering here in Leviticus chapter 3 is unique amongst the five. But we see something really wonderful in verse 5 of chapter 3. There's just this little point that this offering was burnt upon the burnt offering. So there's also this layer, if you like, that it reveals something of the consequences and the fruit of what Christ has offered preceding. So the things we've looked at before, there's something about this one that comes as a result of. So let's just state it plainly. God's heart revealed here is something so, so wonderful. Which I think the whole context of these scriptures, especially coming on the back of the end of Exodus, it's all about the tabernacle of meeting. It's all about God speaking to his people. And his beating heart, my friends, is for intimacy of fellowship. To be able to sit down with the likes of you and me and feast together in intimacy of friendship and fellowship. Can you see that? Oh, the glories, we sang it. Oh, the welcome. Who can tell the depths of bliss spoken by a father's kiss? I mean, this is truly staggering, friends. We've sung earlier, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Now, there's the way in. But in a sense, the focus there is on what the person has been saved from. Can you see that? But listen, the passion of God, and we've heard of him called our Father, Abba Father. The passion of our Father is not just to save us from and pardon us and forgive us. All of that is for this great purpose. Not just to take us out, but to bring us in. And this offering, this peace offering, this fellowship offering is pulsating with the passion of Father God, who wants not just to sit at a distance, but who in fact has done everything possible in the person of his Son Jesus Christ, fulfilling all five of these perfectly and fully, in order that we are not just pardoned. When I say that, please understand me, that's absolutely miraculous. But the pardon is in order for us not to just stay on the outskirts thinking, phew, I've been spared my life. But as a freed man, woman, declared not guilty, you then, my friends, you have access into the very heart of the home, where you find, to your amazement, and we're still often struggling with, oh, am I accepted? I don't know. You don't realize what I've done, what I've thought. And all the while, Father is saying, all of that's been blown out of the water. Come on in. You're the apple of my eye. You're my precious son. Pull up a chair. Here's a robe. Fatted calf. Buffet like you've never seen before, my friends. Fellowship, friendship, intimacy. Staggering. I'll be totally honest with you. I feel, personally, I'm just on the outskirts of these things. There's riches. He's calling us, I believe, as a people. He's calling us in, not just for self-indulgence. No, but the world needs people in fellowship with their Father. Oh, the joy. Oh, the bliss. Oh, the awareness. Who can tell the depths of bliss? Glory to his name. Sorry if I'm struggling to get this out. The Lord's taken me a deeper road, if you like, than I've known before. So not just what we've been saved from, but what he wants to bring us into. And this speaks of that. Praise his wonderful name. No wonder this is sometimes known as the fellowship offering. It's that picture, that unique aspect of God, the priest, and the offerer. And we're thinking here of Christ. And amazingly, on this one, he, in our place, is the offerer once again. He's the offerer. He's also the offering. He's also the priest. I mean, he's all over this, my friends. I'm staggered in these days at the sufficiency of the offering of Christ. And here's the thing. Thank the Lord, the sufficiency of the offering isn't dependent on our understanding of it. Do you get me? This has all been done whether we get it or not. But here's the challenge, my friends. And bless you, Linda. All the things over these past weeks, that scripture you read from Ephesians on so many levels was the word of God to my heart two Thursdays ago. In light of this, so please don't misunderstand me, the sufficiency is untouchable. That's not based on whether we understand it or not, that's just standalone. Perfect. But no wonder Paul prays in Ephesians 1. And he prays so many things, inspired by the Spirit, but he prays this, that the eyes of your understanding, my understanding, should be enlightened. That we should know. That word in the original, know, is actually see, primarily. So he prays that their eyes should be enlightened. Why? So that they should see. And what should they see? The hope of his calling. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Have you seen that? And what else should they see? The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and when he seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. I mean, this is truly staggering. I know these scriptures since I was a boy, but it's like I'm just seeing them afresh. We need to pray for one another, don't we? Not in some kind of super spiritual way. We're not looking for kind of next level for the sake of next level. But, oh Lord, bring us in to what you intend. We don't want to be scrabbling around in the yard when there's a place at the table. So here's the thing, and I believe this is part of why Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that their eyes should see. Here's the thing. The experienced benefit of all that Christ has done in this sufficient, perfect offering in all its aspects. The benefit in our lives is in some sense linked with us seeing, not of our own effort, but as we see, then benefit lands in real outworking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. There's no place for stagnation here, friends. Oh, shoreless ocean, who can sound thee? This is the gift. I mean, this sounds paltry in this context. I was about to say, this is the gift that truly keeps on giving. We even heard in Mary Jones' story, I love that. Don't you love a cliffhanger? Dies an absolute wonderful storyteller. And you might think that's the end. But in fact, it's just the beginning. Ding, ding, ding. Tune in for the next episode next Sunday. And there's more coming. God's going bigger. Glory to his name. He's not fading out with a whimper. And you know what? Neither are you. Dear Mavis, last days on this earth, but the light of the just, as it says, is shining brighter and brighter to the perfect day. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Our capacities, humanly speaking, will fail. And we will weaken, naturally speaking. But what God has started, oh, he's going strong. And it's building, my friends. This is an upward trajectory. You get that? It's an upward call. You're not going to peter out. Bless his wonderful name. Bless his wonderful name. And through the weakness and the fragility of these clay vessels, somehow in God's great wisdom, he's invested this treasure. And there's a definite link between the weakness of the clay vessel and the pulsating glory of the one who came for us. And he was working with absolute focus to restore all things. And the glory of the Lord shall cover the whole earth. Praise his wonderful name. I've been saying many times recently, we're not groaning to depression. We're groaning to glory. These are birth pangs, my friends. Oh, hallelujah. And our time has nearly gone. Amazing. I love it. It's part of the aging process, isn't it? Things seem to speed up. Yeah. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. How shall we finish? We're going to finish right, well, in about 2 minutes. Just listen to this from Isaiah 32. The work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. The work of righteousness will be peace. Now, if you think burnt offering, grain offering, there's Christ offering perfectly, fulfilling all the righteous requirement, if you like, of God's wonderful holy law, and the effect is peace. And there he comes again now in chapter 3 of Leviticus, the peace offering. Glory to his wonderful name, and the fruit of that is surely fellowship. He himself is our peace, who has made both one, in that context, Jews and Gentiles, which pretty much covers everyone, has broken down the middle wall of separation. Boom! Through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Do you see? It's what we're brought into. Access. And that wonderful word there, prosagoge, and please forgive me, any Greek scholars. Such a precious word. It comes twice in Ephesians. It's in Romans as well about access. Peter uses it in a different version when he says we are brought to God by Christ. So it's this sense again of Jesus as he offers and we are in him. He opens up this way in to the very beating heart of the home. And it's like, and we're so often so full of self-doubt and am I accepted and what's going on and is it really possible that I should be clean and all of these thoughts, and in Christ I just want to pick Lee and Linda up again, and you too, Irene. But I'm not gonna try. But in Christ, so he's the prosagoge. He's the, in this context, he's the introducer to the Father, and he takes us in his arms and he walks right in. No hesitation, no cues, no checking to see if he's got right to be there. He's the blessed Son and you're in him. And he walks right up to his Father and they embrace. And he says, these are my friends. And Father, without hesitation, envelops us with exactly the same love as for the precious Son, the one and only. This is truly staggering. And then, what do you do? I tell you what, you feast. We feast, Lord Jesus, on the abundance of your house. And we drink from your river of delights. Can you see something of this? I'm beginning to see it fresh, and I'm with all my heart, Lord. Not my efforts to get in, but realizing, seeing afresh that I'm in Christ, the peace offering here, his communion with the Father somehow is mine. Not you working really hard and being a super spiritual. By grace. See it. See it. It's the key. He's here to anoint our eyes to see. And as we see, benefit, blessing. No wonder Paul starts that chapter blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I mean, there's the buffet right there. You can use that as a way in. Just look at, see what's on the table. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're going to stop there. There's more to come. Tell you what. I'm with you, my friends. We're journeying on together. The Lord is with us. He's speaking to us, isn't he? Not just these things, richly through one and another. It's the body. We're round the table. Oh, praise his wonderful name, the fellowship offering. Shall we close there for now? Bless his wonderful name. So, should I just pray? Is that okay, Phil? Yeah. Oh, Lord, we're lost for words, Lord. Thank you that you give us words, Lord. We sometimes borrow them from others to somehow express what's in our hearts. And Hannah's song is a good one. My heart rejoices in the Lord. I rejoice in your salvation, Lord. Because you raise the poor from the dust. And you lift the beggar from the ash heap. That's what you take us from. And what you bring us into is setting us among princes and causing us to inherit the throne of glory. It's truly staggering. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore we, this morning, put our trust under the shadow of your wings. And Lord, by faith we respond to you and find that we're abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, this fellowship, this peace with God, and you give us drink from the river of your pleasures, for with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. So, Lord, we come as we close, like Phil started, we offer the sacrifice of praise to you, Lord. Our hearts, our lives, the fruit of our lips, we give thanks to your name. We give you all the glory. Lord, continue to work among us and take us on, we pray, for your glory, for your church, Lord, and for the blessing of the broken and the lost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.